someone who will actually come out and fight Goliath. Goes to Saul, asks for permission. Saul says no. Shares a testimony how the Lord had helped him to slay a lion and a bear. Saul says yes. David finds himself about to encounter Goliath. The Philistines, which represent modern-day Palestinians and Palestine, Israel, the kingdom of God. For the most part, they stand there shaking in their boots for 40 days. And David comes along. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I guess not. He says, I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. All right, let's talk about Saul for a minute. Saul has some issues later in a couple chapters, but he doesn't understand the nature of the battle. Okay? He doesn't understand the nature of the battle. He thinks the battle is simply a physical one. One guy against another guy fighting to determine the outcome of the entire battle. The Israelites don't understand the nature of the battle. It's not just physical. The battle that you and I are in to build the kingdom of God here on earth and to come up against this paradigm, this system, this way of thinking. Have you ever sat up in the middle of the night and turned the TV on? What a depressing state of affairs that is. I sit there and I think to myself, surely I've got something better to do, but you know, there's really not a whole lot going on at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I channel surf. And I'm saying to myself, look how much resources are being expended, how much energy, how much work, how much labor to produce this drivel. I mean, you think about it. This world is constantly groaning and striving and coming up with new ways to lose weight or to follow someone else or come up with a new religion or to get popular or with the amount of time consumed focusing in on the Hollywood divorces makes me just wonder, is there anything more important going on in this world than that? Entire careers are built around gossip in Hollywood. Can you imagine? The uselessness, the frivolity. It's pebble in the mess. It's nothingness. But to some people, it's everything. That's the Philistines. So for 40 days, Saul and his army have been focused on their limitations. Listen, you're going to focus on two things in life, either what you can do or what you can't do. And Saul and his army were focused on what they could not do. Kingdom-minded people with kingdom vision do not obsess themselves on what cannot be done. And that's why they stood there. That's why they did nothing. That's why they looked foolish in the name of God. Because they focused more on what they could not do versus what they could do. Kingdom-minded people know that everything is possible. Everything is possible with the intervention of God. This cannot, this will not, not under my watch, be a church by which we measure what we can do in this community, in this world, in the future, based on our own abilities. That's depressing. The kingdom of God is never about what cannot be done. It is always about what can be done. And it takes a ruddy, handsome, young teenager to help us figure that out today. Saul and his army had been convinced by Goliath that they were incapable of leaving that valley victoriously. This is not hard. You can be convinced by the world in which we live in. You can actually find out who you are, create an identity for yourself, place limitations and boundaries in your life based on the system of this world that tells you what you can and cannot do. And Goliath had done that. Young people, listen to me. This world out there will tell you what you're not more so than what they are. They will tell you what you cannot do more so than what you can. And if you listen to them long enough, repeatedly, and you immerse yourself in that paradigm of thinking, they will actually be right. The wrong kingdom was calling the shots. Now listen, you're either a hammer in this world or a nail. But they were right. They had convinced them that they couldn't do it, so they sat there immobilized doing nothing. Now let's look at Saul. When kings and leaders become too high on themselves, they're more interested in their administration, in their legacy, in their reputation, in their status. They leave little room for the Lord to do any work. It's true. As soon as you start hearing, and you can hear it in Goliath's voice, it's about me, my, I, my. Come on. It's rarely about us. It's always about Christ. Then he began to think that somehow I'm a king, my armor must be special. Maybe if the kid puts this on, he's got a shot. Maybe there's something in what I have, and it didn't fit. David's greatest asset is that he knew he couldn't beat Goliath on his own. This is the beauty of David. This is the beauty of a teenage kid dropping off cheese and crackers to the commissary, coming to the front lines of battle to fight a man who's just huge and seasoned in warfare. His greatest asset is he realized he couldn't do it without God's help. That's where each and every one of us need to be. You want to shake the very foundation of this community? Then realize you can't do it without God's intervention. Now you're prepared. You want to change the world in which you live in? You want to launch out into a career or a pursuit of study? You want to make a difference in this world? You want to do something significant? You want to look back on your life and say, you know what? The Lord used me to do that. God did that through me. Then realize before you even take the first step on that journey that you cannot do it on your own. Young David was not used to winning battles on his own. He had beaten a lion and a bear, but he didn't do it on his own. And he had experienced some things in his life. Testimony, like we talked about last week. He had went through the test and God showed him the money. Testimony. He had established a 2-0 record of defeating things he normally wouldn't be able to defeat unless God intervened in his life. Now he's going for 3-0. And he realized that natural armor was insufficient for the battle he was in. He needed spiritual armor. That's what Ephesians 6 is all about. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities of this dark world. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Makes sense. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Now, what's Saul got on the line here? First of all, he's embarrassed. He's the king of an entire nation who sat there and did nothing for 40 days, and he sent a teenager to fight a guy on his behalf. I'd be embarrassed, wouldn't you? He's got everything on the line, because if the teenager David doesn't come through, his whole army loses. And I'm not talking about the win-loss record. I'm talking about their lives. Verse 40, then he took a staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in a pouch on the shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Listen, be yourself and operate in a manner that you're accustomed to. Do what you do best, but leave room for God. Don't try to be someone else. You are uniquely set apart and consecrated for a purpose. Your experiences, your testimony, your knowledge to live up to what you have attained, it says in Philippians, is your call in your life to glorify God with your life. Be yourself. Know yourself, and better yet, know God in you. You know, have you established a track record of understanding how God speaks to you? If not, you need to. You know how we speak to one another? We get into these patterns. I see certain people in the community. I'm going to interact with them in certain ways. I'm going to say certain things. There are different levels of depth of intimacy that I will have in relationships with people of this community. People I don't know, I'll be more guarded in my openness to them. People that I love and I treasure and I befriend, I'll be more transparent with them. Well, you've got to know how to interact with people. David knows that. He knows how God works in him. He knows how God speaks to him. He doesn't have to live out Saul's testimony. He has to live out his own. And this is why young people, middle and high school students, listen to me. You are on a path right now of establishing your own identity in Christ, your own personal walk. Because the day is soon coming, and boy, is it coming quick, when you will step out of that home and it won't be about your parents' walk anymore. It'll be about what yours looks like, how God speaks to you, how you speak to others about God, how you do things, how you're gifted, how you're experienced, what your testimony is, and what your suit of armor is. But it doesn't mean that you're going to change your entire personality. Look at Saul of Tarsus. This guy, for the most part, is obnoxious. Let's be honest about it. When you say Saul of Tarsus, I think of Danny DeVito. I don't know why. A short guy, kind of obnoxious, gets under your skin, kind of weird fella. Locking up Christians, type A personality, knock down, drag out, going to get it done. I'm educated. I'm all these things. I'm a go-getter. Well, he meets Jesus and the noonday sun on the road to Damascus. Does God change his personality? No. He's the same obnoxious go-getter. He's just doing it for Christ, right? He's even sarcastic if you read Corinthians. Very sarcastic, as a matter of fact. And David knows that. He goes, he's not going to change who I am, but he's going to be in me doing things. He's attempting something that's destined to fail without God's intervention.